CBS News Weekend Reports. Visitor from a changing China.
This is Bob Schieffer, CBS News. The skies are overcast and drizzly today in Houston as China's Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping is visiting that city. The events that led to this extraordinary circumstance climaxed on December 15th when President Carter's characteristically soft-spoken words echoed around the world.
The United States of America and the People's Republic of China have agreed to recognize each other and to establish diplomatic relations as of January the 1st, 1979.
With those words, this country and the world's most populous nation ended almost three decades of estrangement, three decades of looking at each other through the wrong end of a telescope. We'll review what came before that after this message.
Steve Allen here, speaking for Steve Allen. Since I'm the spokesman for PIP, Postal Instant Press, a lot of people try to stump the old expert here. They ask, Steve, does PIP really do professional printing while you wait? I tell them that's how they got to be the world's largest printing chain. Or they ask, Steve, is it true PIP can print just about anything? Letterheads, business cards, reports, etc.? I assure them PIP printers do it all, professionally, fast, at very low cost. And then comes the question, Steve, how come you know so much about PIP? I tell him because I have my printing done at PIP. Scripts, music, my office forms. You see, folks, PIP is printing, and my instant printer is PIP.
For quality printing, here's a tip. Always rely on your nearby PIP. The print is fast. While you wait, take it to PIP. The printing is great.
You'll find the PIP Professional Instant Printer nearest you in the yellow pages under printers. That's PIP, Postal Instant Press.
Normalization of relations came much sooner than many in this country had expected, and the fact that it came at all angered many Americans. The split in Chinese-American relations goes back to October 1949. That was when the communist regime led by Mao Zedong formally established the People's Republic of China on the mainland. The action followed the defeat of the American-backed nationalists led by Chiang Kai-shek. The nationalists fled to the nearby island of Taiwan. After the Korean War broke out, the United States sent military aid to Taiwan, and in 1954, a mutual defense treaty was negotiated. For the next 15 years or so, Washington-Peking relations were stalemated, but there were ambassadorial-level talks during this period in Warsaw, Poland, talks which broke off after the American invasion of Cambodia in 1970. During the first 2 years of the Nixon administration, there were some cautious moves toward reconciliation, and the 1969 border clashes between China and the Soviets made rapprochement with the United States more attractive to Peking than before. The breakthrough, though, came in a most unusual way, a way that led to the coining of a new phrase in diplomatic annals, ping-pong diplomacy. An April 1971 visit by a U.S. ping-pong team and five American journalists to the mainland. That marked the first official visit by Americans there since 1949. The U.S. ended a 21-year embargo on trade with China. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger made a secret visit to Peking in July of that year. And soon after came the startling announcement. President Nixon would be going to China to seek normalization of relations. That visit occurred in February 1972. The long road to normalization, which led to Mr. Carter's December 15th announcement, had started in earnest. I'm Bob Schieffer, CBS News.
The world this week saw concrete evidence of the new Sino-American connection. The U.S. Marine Band welcoming Deng Xiaoping with the Chinese national anthem. A jubilant welcome in Tehran this week for the Ayatollah Khomeini. Back from exile after more than 14 years. A homecoming, too, for Patricia Hearst.
I'm really happy to be going home.
And in a New York cathedral, the nation said farewell to Nelson Rockefeller. I'm David Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The diminutive Mr. Deng, China's driving force, spent this week in the United States, first stopped the White House, a state dinner, and the traditional toasts of friendship. But it was enmity that took center stage for a time, China's concern over hegemony, its code word for Soviet expansionism. Heard here through a translator, Deng said China speaks often of the danger of war only because it is there.
We think it's imperative to face up to this harsh reality. Instead of comforting oneself like an ostrich that sticks its head into the sand, It is gratifying to note that a growing number of people of insight in the United States are coming to recognize this danger.
The Kremlin reacted by chastising the Carter administration for giving Deng a platform from which to, quote, slander the Soviet Union and warning that any Sino-American alliance could lead to military confrontation. If Vice Premier Deng is not after an alliance, he is after a leg up, as Richard C. Huttlett reports.
In his eyes, only the United States can help China build the economic base it needs to hold its own. He has made this trip to secure that help. First, a new legal relationship. Ambassadors will be exchanged on March 1st. Now, Deng has signed agreements setting up channels for exchange in science and technology, culture and trade. Deng has improved contacts with the American business community, concentrating on fields which particularly serve China's needs at this stage. Aerospace, to knit communications in China's vast expanse and to train its best engineers. Oil, to help earn the money to pay for this enormous enterprise. Deng has also tried to give the American public and Congress a new idea of China so that there should be no political obstacles here for the much broader cooperation which he hopes will come. Richard C. Huttlett, CBS News, Seattle.
Another man on the move this week, the Ayatollah Khomeini, hero to millions of Shiite Muslims in Iran, returning from exile to a tumultuous welcome and vowing to bring down the government of Prime Minister Bakhtiar. But Bakhtiar says no, he won't go.
I am the legal and the only government here. All arrangements can be done through the Constitution and by free election only, and not by the mob and district people in the street.
The faithful did mob Khomeini on his return this week, as Richard Wagner reports from Tehran.
The Ayatollah, who's pledged to the overthrow of the government of Shapur Bakhtiar and the establishment of an Islamic Republic here, has spent his first days in Tehran, meeting with advisors and publicly greeting the thousands of supporters who come to his headquarters to see him. The political situation in Iran remains at an impasse. The Ayatollah says he'll not even speak with Prime Minister Bakhtiar until Bakhtiar resigns, something the Prime Minister has shown no inclination to do. At his first news conference, the Ayatollah said he'll call upon his followers to declare a holy war to oust Bakhtiar if the overthrow can't be accomplished by peaceful means. For now, Iran's economy remains in the grip of a general strike called by the Ayatollah. The oil revenue has dried up, and the country's foreign debts are adding up. The military remains loyal to the Bakhtiar government. And if no solution to the political impasse is found, civil war is not out of the question. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Tehran.
The leader of the Roman Catholic world, Pope John Paul II, this week returned to the Vatican after a triumphant tour of Mexico. The World This Week continues in 1 minute.
Chills run up and down your spine. There's a creeping sensation at the back of your neck. You're listening to CBS Radio Mystery Theater. I'm E.G. Marshall, your host for these hour-long dramas of suspense, adventure, and the macabre. Heard 7 times a week on most of these stations. Here's a sample of what we mean.
This very room reeks of dejection, despondency, undusted cobweb furnishings, black drapes covering the window. Here, let me throw them back and at least get some moonlight, if not sunlight, into this place.
In the doorway. What is it?
Oh, Madeline!
Am I that horrifying to look upon? Dear brother.
Listen here for CBS Radio Mystery Theater 7 times a week on most of these CBS Radio network stations.
It was a big week for Patricia Hearst. President Carter Monday commuted her 7-year prison term for bank robbery to time served, 22 months. She got out of jail Thursday, just a few days shy of 5 years after she was kidnapped in Berkeley by the Symbionese Liberation Army. In Washington this week, the bribery trial of the flamboyant, mustachioed Representative Daniel Flood, a Pennsylvania Democrat, ended in a hung jury. One juror held out for acquittal. Flood says he is not entirely pleased.
I regret that the jury was unable to reach a unanimous verdict of acquittal in its deliberation. To this very moment, I maintain my innocence of any wrongdoing in the charges.
The government has not yet announced whether it will try to take Flood to court again. Funeral services for Nelson Rockefeller early this week were private, family members and close friends only. But Friday, in a Manhattan cathedral, presidents and politicians and diplomats gathered to pay respects. Among the speakers, a Rockefeller protege, Henry Kissinger, who said the fact that one Rockefeller dream went unfulfilled was a tragedy for the nation.
What a great president he would have been. How he would have ennobled us. What an extraordinary combination of strength and humanity, decisiveness and vision. Yet, I never heard him express even one word of disappointment.
In his commentary this week, Rod McLeish looks at the political legacy of Nelson Rockefeller.
In the eulogies for Nelson Rockefeller this week, there may also have been a lament for the liberal wing of the Republican Party. Rockefeller himself ceased to be the point man of Republican liberalism in his last years as governor of New York. His controversial handling of the Attica prison riots and his speeches about law and order were concessions to the forces that had thwarted his final attempts to become the Republican presidential nominee, Barry Goldwater and Richard Nixon. American political parties in our time have been coalitions, not ideological groupings. The Democrats have been more liberal than the Republicans, but only because liberal Democrats seized party power under Franklin Roosevelt over conservative opposition. The GOP has been conservative only because its own conservative wing tended to dominate it. This weekend, liberal and conservative Republicans are meeting in rural Maryland, trying to keep the concept of left-right coalition alive. That concept of American political parties as coalitions, not repositories of liberal or conservative dogma, needs titular leaders to succeed. Nelson Rockefeller was the last vivid leader of Republican liberalism. No one has come forth to replace him. Rod McLeish, CBS News, Washington.
The World This Week, produced by Harry Polosian. I'm David Jackson, CBS News.
CBS News. Pentagon sources have reportedly confirmed that Iran has changed its mind about buying as much as $7 billion worth of U.S. weaponry. I'm Rob Armstrong, reporting on the CBS radio network. There were reports yesterday morning that Iran had decided to limit its new U.S. arms purchases, but it was not until last night that Defense Department sources confirmed the Iranian decision. Cutback was caused in part by the fact that Iran's diminished oil production has resulted in a serious money problem for the country. A Pentagon source also quoted as saying the U.S. has been asked to reduce its military presence in Iran. There were reports yesterday that efforts were underway in Iran to set up a meeting between Prime Minister Shapur Bakhtiar and Ayatollah Khomeini. That's Iran reports that the Ayatollah is apparently operating on some kind of unannounced timetable.
Abdul Bani Sadr, economic advisor to the Ayatollah, says, with or without army support, something will happen before the end of the week. What that something will be, Bani Sadr isn't saying. But he does admit the movement will lose its momentum if it doesn't take the initiative soon. On the streets, it is calm, but not normal. Most businesses remain closed, there is still an overnight curfew, and the army, while not streaming through the streets, is present. The Bakhtiar government is allowing demonstrations to continue if they are peaceful, and if not, the army will use bullets. There have been pro-Khomeini demonstrations, and they were peaceful. Everyone is waiting for the army to act. Prime Minister Bakhtiar says publicly he is confident the army is behind him. There are stories that Bakhtiar and Khomeini representatives are negotiating for a meeting. But the word from one man in the Khomeini camp is that they are not interested in Bakhtiar. They are only interested in the army. Betsy Aaron, CBS News, Tehran.
CBS News continues in a moment.
Fred, it's after midnight. Oh, look what you've done. Will you stop eating and go to bed? You'll never get up in the morning for work.
I can't get to sleep. I took an aspirin, but I'm still wide awake.
Well, what did you expect? Aspirin's for headaches. You need a sleeping aid to help you fall asleep. I'll get you some Compose when I go shopping.
Some what?
Compose. Go to bed, will you, while I clean up this mess?
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night?
Take Composed. COMPOZ. Taken as directed before you go to bed, Compose actually helps you fall asleep when you want to fall asleep at bedtime.
So what else happened at the office today, Fred? Did you get the order for that new job? Fred? Fred, you asleep? That's Compose for you.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. COMPOZ. Take only as directed. Compose is available at all drug counters.
The captain of a ship used to carry several thousand so-called boat people from Vietnam to Hong Kong now faces criminal charges for his act. The story from Peter Collins.
The captain of the refugee ship Hoi Fong has maintained all along that he was merely a good Samaritan who stopped in the South China Sea off the coast of Vietnam to save refugees from drowning. But officials here in Hong Kong clearly don't believe him. Captain Xu Wenxian has been charged with illegally carrying passengers under a new law aimed at deterring ships from bringing large numbers of refugees to this port. The Hoi Fong arrived off Hong Kong just before Christmas carrying more than 3,400 people, mainly ethnic Chinese. It was held at bay for nearly a month before the government finally relented and allowed them ashore. The Hoi Fong is one of several ships to have arrived in Southeast Asian ports recently with thousands of refugees on board. Officials here believe it was loaded in Vietnam with the active assistance of communist authorities who took payment in gold from agents for the passengers. Captain Xu now faces the loss of his ship, a possible fine of $3.5 million, and 4 years in prison. Peter Collins, CBS News, Hong Kong.
Thousands of farmers plan to drive their tractors and trucks into Washington, D.C. this morning during rush hour. They say their tractorcade is to dramatize their demands for higher farm prices. Now this.
The Wall Street Journal stands alone. No daily publication matches the complete wall-to-wall business coverage it offers. That's why people at the top read the Journal every day. In recent issues, the Journal took a close-up look at the launching of a new product, a highly detailed insight into how new products are conceived, developed, tested, and sold. The Journal also carried valuable tips on saving, what you should know about money market deposits, interest-bearing checking, and short-term government securities. Other journal articles covered a new law that helps married couples avoid needless estate taxes and how currency fluctuations are putting many corporate treasurers through the ringer. Keep on top of the business action every day. Subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. Right now, you can get 20 weeks of the Journal, that's 100 copies, for only $22, a real money-saving offer. So call this toll-free number now.
800-228-2222. That's 800-228-2222. 2222. You'll be billed later.
China's Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping winds up his eight-day U.S. visit today. Last night in Seattle, he said China would pursue a liberal immigration policy. That, says Senator Henry Jackson, would help China qualify for normal trade status with the United States. Pope John Paul II delivered his usual Sunday blessing at St. Peter's Square, and then he headed to the papal retreat at Castel Gandolfo, south of Rome. Pope reportedly will spend a few days just resting after his trip to Mexico last week. He's said to be suffering from jet lag. I'm Rob Armstrong, CBS News.